Bibles for not a sermon, but a homily today in preparation for communion. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and a homily entitled The Gift of Inadequacy. Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for what it means to us today. Speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. And so we see here that two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. One of them prays to God. His prayer is straightforward and simple. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Notice what he thanks God for. He thanks God for what he is not, rather than for what he has. And then he lists the sins of other people. This is why lots of people don't want to come to church, because there are too many Christians just like this guy. They're focused on everybody else, on the sins of everybody else, on what everybody's doing wrong. Pharisee reminds God of all the good things he did. God, you just can't believe how good I am. I've done this and I've done this. I've given money. I've done good things. I come to worship. I'm here all the time. I'm good. You ought to know it, God. You got it. I'm reminding you, I'm good. I fast twice a week. I mean, that's got to be brownie points, right, Lord? Not the brownies that you eat, the ones you don't. I give a tenth of all my income, and he keeps going and going and going. Now, on the other hand, there is at a distance. So we got one person up front, and you can just imagine other people are around. They're hearing this guy. They're hearing what it is that he has to say. This is his testimony. This is his sermon. Is that a sermon that would draw you, if you were not a believer, to that kind of word? It's like, whoa. So from a distance, there was praying a lowly tax collector. And he's just beating his breast. He's all upset. And his prayer was simpler, more to the point. He simply said this to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All of us need mercy. All of us are sinners. Isn't that the kind of gospel that would attract people to us and to our message? You know the rest of the story. According to Jesus, according to the Lord, it was the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who was made right before God. The gospel that was proclaimed was not the goody two-shoes, I'm going to judge the other people, I'm great, look at what I do, pat me on the back because I'm a good Christian. No, it's the one who said, I'm not all that. I'm going to be at a distance because you are holy and I'm not there yet. We discover that when we boast of our own accomplishments, we forget about God. When we boast about our own accomplishments, we forget about God. In one of John Lloyd Ogilvie's books, he speaks of the gift of inadequacy. Now, think about those words. The gift of inadequacy. Now, I have to say, I hear all of these students singing and playing and having a tremendous amount of talent. And I have to say that even though I can sing, I can't play the clarinet or the flute or the piano or the organ. And I look at myself and I say, I compared to this, there's a measure of inadequacy. I can't do some of these things that they can do.
When we are thinking about inadequacy, we can focus on what God can do. We are here worshiping today where the adequacy of others ministered to our inadequacy. While I may not be able to play the clarinet or sing such a beautiful solo or play the piano or play the organ or play the flute, I can enjoy what God has given to each of these and be blessed by it. I am blessed by this gift of inadequacy. It's even, you know, it's kind of easy to forget about God when everything's going our way, right? Sherry said, hey, God help me when I'm down. See, it's easy to fall into self-congratulations and pride when everything's okay. Shirley Lashley is a middle school teacher in Florida. That's a special calling all by itself. And she feels that God called her to teaching. But as the years passed, she began to rely more on herself and less on God. And within 3 or 4 years, she found herself doing more, accomplishing less, enjoying little. As her relationship with God slipped, so did her relationship with other people. And after struggling for a few years and benefiting from some excellent Christian counseling, she says, the Lord taught me how to pray, how to teach, and how to live. She was so full of herself that she could not pray, she could not teach, she could not live. So do you want those things? Understand your inadequacy. When she thought only of what she had, when she thought only of her accomplishments, she neglected God. Thankfully, her life was turned around when she made that discovery. She says, I now begin each day in prayer, asking God to teach through me. I pray for my students. I pray for the other teachers. I pray for the administrators. I pray for good relationships to develop among us all. And I praise God for answered prayers. She's discovered the gift of inadequacy because a sense of inadequacy turns us toward God. Now, this is what's really cool. The Pharisee was an outstanding citizen, an amazing person. You'd say, wow, that is the of our community. He was a type that we would be proud to have in our church. It's like, whoa, this is just an amazing person to be part of us. He was dependable. He took his faith seriously. He kept the law. He exceeded what the law required. The law said you got to fast once a week. Notice that he says, hey, God, because he had to do it once. He had to do it once according to the law. So he did it. It's like, God, I double did it. I double did it. I not just did it. I double did it. God wanted a place in the Pharisee's heart. And what happened was that the Pharisee wanted to give God a place in his ritual. Our relationship with God is not a ritual. God wanted truth and sincerity, and the Pharisee wanted a set of rules that he could follow. Something was missing in his life. He thought he could win God's favor by his own accomplishments, and instead he was alienating himself from God and from others with his proud attitude. When we boast of our accomplishments, we forget God. That's why he knocks us down a peg or two from time to time. Because when we are down, there's no place to look but up. And we're in a better place in our relationship with the Lord, even though it doesn't feel that good. The Pharisee needed to discover that we draw closer to God and to others when we are willing to admit our shortcomings and rely on God's grace. Let me tell you something, friends. I'm not perfect. I never have been. And I'm here to tell you the truth. You're not perfect. And you've never been. Y'all have shortcomings. You all need God's grace. And I'm telling you right now, this is also true. You may not want to hear it, but it's the truth. We are all sinners. Every one of us. Not a single one of you is so goody-two-shoes and so in with God that you can say, hey, Pastor, I'm not one of those people you just talked about. I'm not a sinner. The Apostle Paul says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we participate in this communion table, we are reminded of our responsibility to God. John, in 1 John, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, understanding our inadequacy is a prelude to grace. Pastor Dennis Keene tells about a woman from a small town in Pennsylvania's depressed coal region, and she would come to communion. And imagine this, every single time she'd come to church in communion, she would cry uncontrollably. And he asked some parishioners about this woman. And they said, well, she has cried at communion for as long as we can remember. She always cries at communion. And after one service, the pastor came up to her and said, why do you cry every time you get communion? And her response surprised her pastor. She said, every time I receive the bread and cup, I can't help but think that Christ died for me. I feel that the only fitting response is crying. But crying, and in crying, I'm remembering what Christ did for me. I feel so sorry. I feel so sad. I feel so unworthy to receive communion. Sometimes we add it on to the service and don't give it a second thought, but the reason that we need it is because we are sinners saved by grace, and it ought to cause us an emotional reaction, not only because of what Christ did, but because of what he promised. The tax collector felt unworthy. He was ashamed of himself and the life he lived. He stood as far from the altar as he could. He felt that unworthy. He couldn't even assume the proper prayer stance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he prayed. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God heard his prayer. Now, I don't want to, you know, it is IRS, tax collection, not too popular, but I mean, there were really individual people who were people that went out and collected taxes. And they were not the people that you wanted knocking at your door, and they were the people that you went to the other side of the road when you saw them coming. It's like, there's Rob. He's the tax collector. Get out of here. I don't want to say hi to Rob. Get as far away from him as I can. The Romans set a specific amount of tax they wanted to collect in an area and allowed the tax collectors to extort whatever amount above they could get. So they were thieves. They would get the taxes, and then they had to get themselves paid. And they'd get as much from people as they could. And they despised them. The tax collector realized when he went to the temple, oh my Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a dishonest man. I'm not in an honest profession. And he beat himself in despair, knowing that he had no right to call on God's mercy. He was a sinner. He didn't have a right. I'm a tax collector. I steal. I'm a thief. And when he prayed, he called attention to his sins, not his accomplishments. When he prayed, he opened himself up to God, trusting God and not himself. And Jesus said, the man went down to his home justified rather than the other. Worthy, yes, thanks to the grace of God, and so it is with each of us as we come to this table. We kid ourselves if we think otherwise. The gift of inadequacy. The tax collector was made right before God because he was aware of his need before God. One final thought. We help others in the body of Christ when we are willing to confess our inadequacy. There are far too many people who are giving out the impression that they've got it all worked out, and no one has any idea that they've got problems going on in their lives. Every single one of you have had a downtime, a difficult day, a day when your faith was wobbly and weaker than others. Why is it that we can't share this with others and ask people to pray for us? This is, as our sister said, like a family. We come together and we pray for each other because that's who we are. That's what the body of Christ is. When we confess our inadequacy, you know, there's some people, I got to tell you, we want to win the world. We want to get people through outreach to come here. We want them to accept the gospel message. But there are a lot of people out there in our community. And you want to know something? We intimidate them. We church people intimidate those people out there. Because what they see sometimes is this collection of super saints. Whoa, I'll never make it to Wayne level. I'll never make it to Brian level. I'll never make it to Napoleon level. I just better give up right now. These are just super duper people. Now, if they ask us, we'd say, no, we're not that super duper, at least if we were honest. They see a bunch of super saints, and they're not drawn to us as a result of that. Rather, they prefer to avoid us so that they won't feel so unworthy. We make them feel unworthy when we are sinners saved by grace, and we ought to make them feel more worthy by expressing our inadequacy. We put on our pious expressions, and people think we've got it all together. Thus, like the Pharisee, we can become unapproachable, and it's sad. This church has some sinners, and the more we're willing to admit that we're not perfect, the less intimidating we will be. Because the Lord himself said, I am not come to call the righteous. And added, you know who said that. Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. None of us should be intimidated by the saintly among us, because even the saintliest among us have got real problems, real sins. We're really not even close to being perfect. None of us has a harp. At least I didn't see one yet. Or a halo. Or a set of wings that we sang about them. If we could look into every heart, what we would see is the gift that God has given us all. And that is the gift of inadequacy. That's why we come to worship each Sunday. Not to trumpet our accomplishments. Not to say, hey, I'm so good. No. But to confess our needs. We're saved by grace and grace alone. A tax collector showed up at the temple. His prayer was simple and to the point. And as we come before this table of communion today and examine ourselves in the light of that prayer, the tax collector's prayer was simple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm telling you this morning, that should be the prayer that all of us pray as we enter into this time of communion. Arun and Lewis, would you join me?